We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Continental Toyota. Looking to buy a new or pre-owned Toyota today? Visit Continental Toyota on LaGrange Road at I-55 or ContinentalToyota.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
This is the start of the best season in sports.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
It's hard for me when I'm sitting there going, drive it or run! Make contact!
Why would you swing?
Put a ball in play!
Yeah. Javi swings and hits one to deep right field. Going back, looking up at the wall. Goodbye! Number two on the season for Baez. A three-run blast. And the Cubs have broken this thing open.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We'll do the midday midway at 10:20. We will talk with Yahoo's Brad Evans about last night in college basketball. What a sports day yesterday.
What a sports night.
A lot of entertaining stuff going on yesterday. He will join us at 10:40. Jonah Carey will talk baseball at 11, and we've got some giveaways as well. We have an MLB Network prize pack. Baseball season's back. MLB Network is bringing you live coverage with look-ins and analysis from the best in the biz, and we have a prize pack for you with MLB things
and prizes
in it. It's a pack,
also a pack
of prizes. Mm-hmm. Was one in Mitch's office when he was like,
that has to be what
doling
that was.
Out is that what that
yeah,
was?
Yeah, a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah, it's all MLB branded stuff. And
I would
things.
Imagine that's the prize pack. Yes,
and a pair of tickets to see the Black Keys and Modest Mouse at the United Center on July 27th. 312-644-6767. That's our phone number at WSCR The Score. You can email us at BernsteinMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or feeling your weekend and you want to send a sext, that's okay too. We don't mind that. You take what you can get. That's 67011. When you send, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. Mm-hmm. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You also must download the radio.com app.
Ryan Klein should never stop shooting.
Well, he does it, and he does it well.
It's the only
and
thing.
He looks like he's at the Y, or he's in somebody's basement
he's so
somewhere.
Much fun.
But he knows what he does, and that's what he does. Don't ask him to guard it. Take him out of the game on defense, especially with all the fouls.
A lot of the fouling.
When you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Brian Gertz directs our video feed from that back room where he's being irradiated over there. These
Is
are
that
the cameras.
What's going on?
It feels that way, doesn't
that
it?
That makes sense. That brings the lead door into a little bit starker relief.
There's that weird like electrical hum.
Mm-hmm.
Something's going on.
I thought that
on.
Was to get rid of the asbestos.
I don't know, but if he starts mutating, well, he already kind of started.
He started mutating.
So
yeah.
if it gets worse, we'll know exactly what's going on there. But the video feed is at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. We have producers. The man in the blue hat is Jay Zawoski.
I got that call from Pop. Every year I watch the draft. I sit at home. I tell everybody all day long, I'm not watching the draft. I'm not going to do this. I sit at home. I watch the draft and we pick people that I've never heard of. Yeah, sitting there, Emmanuel Ginobili. Who did we just pick? I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna be great. He's this. He's oh, okay, Pop. Whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That is Tim Duncan.
Ginobili.
Yeah, Emmanuel Ginobili. Hell of a career for both of those guys. I mean, Ginobili, absolute, unquestioned Hall of Famer and one of the most interesting basketball players that we've had in the last 20 years or so.
He swats bats.
Yes, he, yeah.
He's a bat killer. Slaughter.
On the board is Christopher Dickens.
Beilein is the master at getting good shots for his team in big spots in the NCAA tournament. Does it as well, if not better, than anybody in America. He is one of the great offensive minds in America. He's probably better coming out of a timeout than any coach in this tournament. And I think that's the difference. I think Michigan has a great chance to go to the Final Four and is a threat to win this whole thing. I think Michigan's got more offensive answers, and I think John Beilein is a master. I will take Michigan over Texas Tech.
The Red Raiders steamroll Michigan 63-44.
They were smothered.
Were they one of 19 from three-point range?
Texas Tech took a pillow and put it over their collective. I mean, it was just, shh, go to bed. Yeah. Shh, it's over. Go away now.
That was a really impressive defensive performance.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, they play like there's an extra guy on the floor. We talked about it when we were sitting at McGee's.
I told you to diagram it for me.
Just the double and get back.
Yeah.
The way they're able to stay on the line and up the line, you know, that they're always in between their man and the basket and close to their man.
It took me about 8 minutes to really understand the whole premise of things as it was going on last night. And after the 8 minutes where I thought, I can't watch another second of this, it started to click. Like it was like Clockwork Orange. I finally realized the beauty that was going on in front of me.
Yeah, it's almost like watching a constrictor grab a rat and you know, the eyes bug out a little bit, uh-huh. And then there's sort of this natural beauty to it, and then it will unhinge its jaw and begin to consume its prey.
I am become deaf. One of 19 was Michigan from behind 3 points.
That's what I thought. One of 19.
One of 19.
That's not enough.
No, you need a few more than that.
That is too many misses and not enough makes. In the back, doing what he does, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
There's no more 4 and 5 starters across the board in this division. You're going to face guys like Arietta and Jake Nola and guys from other teams that have tremendous pitching staffs. You're going to face guys like Arietta.
If you can combine the two, the guy throws lefty, guy throws righty. That was on Masson, FP Santangelo. And hat tip to the Sultan of Guilt.
It's opening day for everybody.
For pointing that out to us yesterday.
Oh, was it Sultan of Guilt on Twitter that hit us up with that?
Sultan of Guilt texted me and said, you got to grab this. So we thank him for that.
Arietta.
But we are in baseball season now, and I'm not going to be stupid about it because I know it's one game.
Promise.
And I'm going to take my own advice, even though Theo, a.k.a. like Bob from Elmwood Park, is every game matters. October starts now.
October is everywhere.
Yeah,
it's on now.
This is Theo in Lakeview. I don't think they care enough. I don't think they're trying hard enough.
I think I'm going to cut Mark Zagunas tomorrow. Right. Tired of watching him play. Oh, he got a hit? All right. Okay, he's fine. He can stay.
That's the new thing. Theo apparently has become a score caller. I mean, it is. Every couple of weeks, he actually does.
Which we thoroughly appreciate. But it is. It's
try
on,
harder.
Man. It's on. And how about, here's the thing. You got reminded, rather, of a couple things yesterday. And it was nice to have a handful of reminders about that Cubs team and just how good they can be. You got reminded of what Chris Bryant looks like when he's healthy. Yeah. That ball at 94 with sink down around, this is like kneecap. It's kind of kneecap level. Opposite field, right center. That's beautiful, is what that is.
And Lester was lestering.
Lester was lestering. Pitching confidently and well enough, just enough so that I'm watching and going, is anybody up in the pen? See? Anybody up? Just wondering. I'm sure he's fine. I'm just wondering who's throwing.
And also, if you had Jesse Chavez as a perfect regression candidate. So
day one started well for you.
Yeah, take a bow, because that would be day one of regression after his sub-2 ERA as a Cub last year.
Did you, when he marched out there to start throwing for the Rangers,
did you
have some heartstrings pull a little bit? I did, too.
I did, because you don't realize what a lot of people, I don't really think, appreciate what he meant to whatever the Cubs did last year.
He was
year.
A superhero.
Superhero.
He was a superhero last season. And I'm watching, I'm thinking about all the stuff he talked to us about pitching and how, you know, you watch the batter's reaction to stuff he's throwing. And I'm going, okay, that's what I'm going to watch here. I'm going to see how Zagunas reacts to this pitch. I'm going to see how, the problem is there's no way to watch a guy react after he's knocked you around the ballpark because he's running down to first base and then at second base and then third base. And he's just clobbering Jesse Chavez back and forth. I didn't get to watch much of that yesterday.
The 217 texter wants to know, okay, if October starts in March, we need to ask Theo when March starts.
There is no March.
No, March has been been stricken from the record.
It didn't exist. It never happened. It is always October.
So he's cold now and he's got Halloween decorations up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. There are two seasons in baseball for him now. There's October and the trade deadline, and that's it.
That's all.
Those are the two things that exist.
And worrying about injuries season.
Yeah, but that's kind of constant.
That's his other thing.
That's year long.
Yeah, and there have been some already in baseball, but I think they might have gotten out the balls that are closer on the spectrum to what they were in 2016. Remember we talking to Joe Sheehan about it?
Yeah.
He said there was one study that said it's the thread that's being used to sew the horse hide on there, but it's their quote-unquote acceptable range. And within their...
Seems wide.
Within their very, very wide acceptable range of bounciness and elasticity, there were a couple around the league list. If you just watch the highlights, it wasn't just the Cub game. I know they've got that weird wind there.
Yeah, there was a lot in Texas. And you could tell.
A good point that I think Jim DeShays brought it up, that park is the flaggiest park I've ever seen.
There are a lot of flags
everywhere.
In that ballpark.
There's all the Texas flags. Like
they love their flag. Texans, they love their flag.
It was so flaggy.
Mm.
Do you have a flag? And it was just, and they like the American flags and their Texas flags. And now they're uh-huh. building another ballpark right next to it. Is that another tax boondoggle?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
although it all is also kind of ridiculous that they built an open-air stadium in Texas to begin with because nobody wants to go there and play in 110-degree heat. Free agents have to think about that when you go down there. I don't really want to deal with that. And if you don't think they do, you're crazy. They do. It matters.
There is a Deadspin story that has come out that is it's huge and full of incredible details. It's a business story more than anything else. It really is Tom Lee did an unbelievable job on Deadspin. He's got some emails and documents that have, I don't know, come into his possession.
One way or another.
And regarding the sale of the Cubs from Sam Zell to the Ricketts family. And, uh-huh. and the story is relatively common leveraged debt and what is done to make these deals possible.
It's the financial maneuverings of the insanely wealthy over
correct.
A gigantic purchase.
And it is also the internal filial squabbling of the insanely wealthy. And if you enjoy that kind of thing, it's gossipy, just about the way the siblings react to each other.
Yeah.
It's some, you know, Godfather-y stuff with... You know, Santino and Fredo and
never really feeling like you were part of the family.
Right. You can kind of tell who thinks he's Fredo in the whole thing.
Possible.
Right. You know?
Or at least in that moment.
You can see who Michael is. You can see who Sonny is.
It's possible that they've rectified those issues within the family. But at the moment, while making a gigantic purchase, there was a little bit of some hurt feelings.
And it really works because you've got the three boys and the sister, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So you could really make it work with Sonny and Michael and Fredo and Connie and figure out how all these pieces come together. If you wanted to. You know who Don
yeah,
Vito is, obviously.
Sure.
And it's
his emails. It's, Vito's emails?
Oh, yeah. Vito's emails are pretty good. But it's a very difficult radio story to do. Just because
we can't work you through actuarial tables on the show.
Yeah,
as much as we'd love to, we can't.
I do think if you're a business person or you're super interested in the actual financial details of how these guys and how these owners across the league leverage debt to come up with these massive amounts of money. And like the last minute call to dad asking for more money. And then mom's got to float several million dollars also because of what she owns. So there's a lot of texters and people on Twitter saying, why are you guys talking about this? It's hard to talk about. I'm not quite sure what the... conclusion is rich people are weird.
Well, I mean, they've got a lot of money. They can afford to be weird if they want to be weird. But the other part, unless you've got the information, unless you're looking at the tables with us,
yeah,
and reading it along, it's really not a story that fits radio. It's just not.
So if we're not going to do like PowerPoint presentations and have you change slides,
maybe we'll do that on Leftovers. I don't know. Maybe that's something we do for Leftovers.
Yeah, we should mention.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning.
We're launching a new thing.
We're workshopping
We're workshopping a thing, and Connor came up with this idea yesterday.
Well, it's been in the works for a couple of days, but the name hit yesterday, thanks to our guy Keith and just some brainstorming and whatnot. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
We're going to do this in real time after the show,
mm-hmm,
because all of a sudden we've got this time, and we figured, and literally we get to the end of the show, and something sitting here is left over. It's like, oh, I wanted to get to
extra
that.
Extra stuff.
So we don't know what it's going to be. And that's the best part of it.
Yeah, we can promise you it's going to be nonsense, though.
It could be anything. Mm-hmm. We'll have some jumping off point for something, but we are going to do a post-show video, and it's going to be on Twitter. It is going to be at 670 The Score, at their Twitter feed, at 670thescore.com.
The links will be tweeted everywhere, yeah, and you just have to click and watch.
But it's just going to be Connor and me somewhere in this building or outside this building or near this building with something. We're calling it Leftovers.
It's Score Leftovers. We'll bring in other people from the station. We'll have Jay and Rick involved at points. I'm sure Kevin Zipak will wander in front of a camera.
Really? I thought we had a no Zipak agreement.
We did. It got redlined in negotiations, so we're not forced to take Zipak for an episode or two.
What did we gain?
Nothing.
What did we get in negotiations?
We got nothing. We got absolutely Brian Gertz is going to film it for us. Like that's really all we got out of this. But it'll be fun, and I think it's I think it's just a little bit extra something that you can have to take on. We'll waste time so you don't have to. That's the premise of the show.
And I don't even understand what
it
that means.
It doesn't mean anything.
Ah.
Yeah.
It doesn't. That's no, what I doesn't. I wasted a lot of time trying to figure out what it meant.
Oh, yeah. Don't spend time doing that.
847 asks, is Mark Zagunas a prospect or just a guy?
He's a third-round pick out of the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, which I guess is just Virginia Tech.
He's just a guy.
He's 26. He's a guy. He was a third-round pick, and he's played really well in spring training. And he's a guy who might fit the other half of Kyle Schwarber's platoon needs. Maybe. I like this text from the, 224? I'm a huge baseball fan. I've never seen Areola pitch.
That's a good one. I don't want to overreact to the Cubs, but that looked like a Chili Davis isn't here anymore kind of way to start the season.
And it looked like launch angle's not a fad.
It looked like launch angle is here to stay, and they're going to do that. Baez was just turned up.
He was terrific. And you know what? I mentioned that they reminded you of a couple of things about this Cubs team. I think Joe Maddon reminded you of something yesterday as well, and it was late in a ball game where it didn't feel like it would matter all that much, and still he made a move of importance. He made a move of some kind of significance. I wonder if Cubs fans caught it. Wonder what you thought about it. He's Dan. I'm Connor. Plenty of Cubs conversation. Opening day was yesterday. Day off to talk about it. One thing that Joe Maddon reminded everybody of yesterday. It's Bernsie McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Miners ready, sets at the belt, kicks and delivers. The 0-2, ground ball up the middle, through for a base hit. Zobrist rounds third. He's coming home. Cubs take the lead as Zagunas slides into second base with an RBI double. Hayward heads to third. Cubs 3, Rangers 2 here in the top half of the fifth inning.
Hustle double by Mark Zagunas.
Yeah, not all looking back from the Cubs. They're 12-4 the final. They go 1-0 to begin the season, beating the lowly Texas Rangers. If I told you that Hunter Pence over the last two seasons had an OPS plus of blank, with what number would you fill in blank?
70.
78. 78. He's hitting fifth, the Texas Rangers. Well, I think you're right. I think they probably lose at least 90 games.
Oh, that is what a 100-loss team looks
like.
That's
a bad team. They're nothing like the Orioles, though.
I'm going to miss Hunter Pence. That's what baseball, we talked with Jonah Carey last week. Baseball is losing unique guys. And he's only unique because he had a spinal condition.
Yeah,
right?
He's got some sort of condition that, the spine got twisted or something like that. He runs goofy. He bats goofy. He's all very fidgety. He looks kind of weird. He lets the beard go like he's on Game of Thrones or something. He kind of looks like a wilding. He's got a really fun YouTube show, though, with his wife. He just goes around kind of tasting coffee and whatnot. But the best thing he's done is institute the Hunter Pence School of Baseball.
I haven't seen that.
I'll show it to you if you haven't seen that video. It's all spoof. It's really great. But I mentioned that Joe Maddon kind of reminded you of a few things. If you're telling me that when Theo was on with David Haw and with Lou Kanellis yesterday, and he's reminding you that October is everywhere, October is always, it is always October, then you saw Joe kind of manage like it late. You're up 12-2, and you brought in Pedro Strop to face Andrus, Gallo, and Pence. Those are, I mean, it's still the Rangers, and like we just mentioned, they're not very good, but Andrus, Gallo, and Pence are maybe the most dangerous couple in that lineup. Rougned Odor could probably throw in there as well, but he's kind of in Nomar Mazzara, who later got faced by Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, that's but thing's still going.
Strop got the first two, Pence singles, and he makes the change. Joe pulled Pedro out and threw in Mike Montgomery to go lefty-lefty against Nomar Mazzara. Now, I would imagine that when Mike got out there to face the left-handed Mazzara, he's not thinking throw that fastball there.
Because, hope not.
Because my God.
Yeah, I hope that that wasn't his thought. That thing might have been I missed my spot.
Pummeled. But you made that change. You reminded people that we don't have Brandon Morrow right now, so I'm using matchups to the best of my advantage. Maybe all season long, maybe even if it's 12-2, maybe even if this thing is out of place and put down, you got your off day tomorrow, you've got a third off day before you start your third series, so you got the ability to throw that many pitchers. But Joe's letting everybody know that he makes decisions still, and those decisions were reflective of the urgency that was talked about during spring.
I would like to know if the total number of home runs hit is the most in recent memory on an opening day, because there were a lot hit, and there were a lot that looked juiced ball-y to me. So
that sounds like a job for Chris Kempka.
I am going to keep my eyes open. I have flipped the switch after one game. After one game of 162, I want everybody to just – all I'm asking you as a fan is know it when you see it. You've watched enough baseball. I know you have no idea who Mike Trout is, I take that as a given. You've watched enough baseball to know, at least from the center field camera, that when it leaves that camera shot, as the director is switching over to get your high baseline shot of the outfielder going back, you know if you think it's gone or not. And you know who's hitting. You know the velocity. And some of these you're like, no. Oh, well. I guess that is
look
a home
at that
run.
Ball.
Right. And some of these that just have a little bit of extra carry, some of this that maybe you think was off the fists, or maybe you heard a broken bat. Just do me a favor, and I'm deputizing everyone to be on the lookout.
Guy spends one day listening to Theo say October is everywhere, foregoes his annual speech about how baseball's a long season and nothing means anything. And here
because
you
of Theo
are.
From Elmwood Park.
And here you are right. On the first off day of the season screaming conspiracy
I'm
theories
not,
left and right.
We're just in an observation phase.
We are not alleging conspiracy yet.
We are monitoring.
Yet.
This is, we know it happens that baseballs have a certain range of the coefficient of restitution here. Mm-hmm. So we could have Alan Nathan on again to talk about it. All I'm saying is we are officially in observation period here.
Jay's across the glass shaking his head, but also scheduling Alan Nathan for a hit in like May. That's how early it's going to be this year now.
I just I got a text from a longtime baseball observer who also says the two Athletics and Mariners games in Japan.
The 5-4 ball games.
Exact same thought. There are a couple off the end of the bat that went all the way to the wall in dead center.
Okay.
There were some balls carrying there as well.
Well, baseball's wanted. It's not an accident that they're making the Atlantic League throw from 69 feet this year. It's not an accident that they're having pitchers set up at second base and allowing one crow hop before they throw their slider. Like they understand that they're trying to get more offense back into the game. So I don't know. Is it like a dodge that Rob Manfred gets to do to implement all these changes in the Atlantic League, but also over here go. Put that baseball back in there. The one that goes 95,000 feet. That one. Put that one in.
The 2016 one.
Put that baseball back
in there. The 2016 one that made everybody a 20-homer hitter.
No, but here's the thing. Does anybody care? I mean, when it gets down to it, do you care that the baseball flies like it did yesterday?
I'm not a pitcher.
Sure. I mean, guys like Jake Peavy and guys like John Lester and guys who came up doing that way would care a lot. But even still, you saw everybody get paid this offseason. You saw the top tiers get paid, I should say. You saw Chris Sale get his money. You saw DeGrom get his money. I mean, from a fan standpoint, I think that the thing I cared about most when it came to the juiced baseball that it seemed to be for about a season and a half is that Major League Baseball flatly refused to talk about it and just ignored all the research that got done by smart people like Alan Nathan at Illinois. Like, that's just, it was, you were lied to. And it's never the thing. It's never the crime. It's the cover up that hurts more. That seems just so stupid. You could just look around and go, "Well, we wanted more runs in baseball. Doesn't everybody want more?" Okay, everyone. Well, then here's your baseball.
Herb on the South Side is on the score. Hello, Herb.
What's going on, guys? I thought that Joe Madison move with Pedro Strop and Mike Montgomery, and I thought it was a hilariously petty response to Theo and all the talk about the sense of urgency in every game and every inning. And so he's up 10 and he brings in his closer. And then at the first sign of trouble, he pulls him to even further mock Theo at the expense of Pedro Strop's early season confidence. And then just as collateral damage, he gets Mike Montgomery's confidence rocked after doing it that bomb that he over-celebrated down 8.
So you thought he was trolling?
I absolutely thought he was trolling. He's up 10 points. He's up 10 runs. And he's just like, you know what? It's an urgency. Everything's important, right? I got to bring in my closer. And then at the first line of trouble, I have to pull him, bring in Mike Montgomery. He gets both of them rocked. It was hilarious.
Herb, I love you, man.
Yeah, as long as we're doing conspiracy theories.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that was the engine was redlined yesterday at 12-2. I don't think, well, I put it this way. I would imagine that those moves were made, the throwing Strope and then pulling him and all that kind of stuff. I would imagine that he does that differently if he doesn't have the 3 off days coming up in the next week and a half.
Right.
It affords him the ability to do that. It lets John Lester out there just a little bit longer. Although I wasn't aggrieved by how long John was left in the game. That seemed fine to me.
He looked like he wanted to be out. His pitch count was relatively low. That's for a John Lester start.
Yeah.
You got to be impressed that he was like at 78 through 5 or something.
Did he get pulled pitches? 98 pitches in total, 57. That feels fine. That feels fine for a John Lester start. Made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, he wasn't throwing anything in the dugout. He got his precious win. He got his one loss record, what he needed. He
6-4 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, 1 home run. The thing that alarmed me most last season about John Lester, it was the increase of walks against the decrease in strikeouts.
Hard contact rate, too.
Sure, you can throw that in there, but if you're going to throw stuff like Chris Sale has, you can have a day like Chris Sale did yesterday where the contact rates are all red on MLB Savant and the velocities are all 94 and go, well, he'll probably work some things out. You would hope. With John Lester, though, if you're working at those margins where the strikeouts are fewer and the walks are higher, this is the kind of game where you go, good game. What else do you have? You know, where are your extra 3 strikeouts or so to get you through those 6 innings?
Yeah, you couldn't have asked for much more, though, for an opener when you're just hoping that this offense can re-energize itself a little bit. You want to be opening against the Texas Rangers. There's no doubt about
Hell
that.
Yes.
And you get to see Lance Lynn tomorrow, right?
Is that who they've got running out there?
Yeah, and Lance Lynn will throw you hittable fastballs.
Does he have another pitch?
No.
I think it's just the fastball.
I want to say he's like 93% fastballs
the
or something
like
that.
Slightly slower fastball, and then the fastball that's just right over the belt.
Right. He's got the fastball.
You have to say belt.
The fastball that goes the other way often. So if that's their number 2 starter. Is that the worst pitching staff in baseball?
No, the Orioles.
Well,
the answer to is that the worst will always be met with the Orioles.
Their lineup.
It's horrendous.
Their lineup was hilarious. I think it was, we were trying to name, we were like reading last names and seeing if we could get
the first
who they
names.
Were by first name.
I think I got 7 of the 9.
I
think you had something like 6 or 7.
I got Sweet Jesus. I got Jesus
That's
Sucre.
Jesus Sucre.
Right? I got that one. Bill and Beverly, you're on WSCR.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hi, Connor's right here, too. Say hi to him. He's going
to
feel bad.
I'm a little ticked at Connor because you guys are making too big of a thing about Strope being thrown in. How many appearances did he have in the spring training? He's coming off an injury. Man needing to get him some pitches.
Did
probably
I,
had a pitch
did I
count.
Say it was Bill? Did I say it was bad?
Well, you did. You're kind of mocking him, and then you got another caller coming.
No, that was
in,
a caller.
Bill, I can't control what Herb had to say. Did I say it was bad?
Well, you say he was kind of overreacting and putting him in.
Do you throw a lot of closers when you're up 12-2?
Well, if the closer pitched how many times in spring training and he needs to get in, yeah. I have no problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it either, Bill.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm showing a little bit too much emotion after one game.
You don't have to be sorry, man. We can talk. We can talk. All right. Can have our emotions out there. That's cool.
Thanks, guy, for listening.
You
happy
got it,
Friday, Bill.
Bill.
Come on. It's all good.
Not mad at it. There's context to it. I told you the three off days matter a whole hell of a lot, and Bill's got a good point. Pedro didn't throw much in spring training, so you throw him out there against a really bad lineup and let him do some stuff.
So we already have
that's your closer, de facto, throwing up 12-2.
Right. And Herb from the south side, his interpretation was Joe was like, oh, okay, Theo, you want me to take things seriously? I got to go to my closer here because you never know. Yeah, really. Boy, this ballpark, you know, eight-run lead, 10-run lead, that's more like a 2-run lead elsewhere, you know?
You can't face Mazzara, not with a man on.
Oh,
I got to bring in Montgomery for that.
Right, I got to go handedness here. I got to match this thing up, play the percentages.
I would say that you and I have properly overreacted to day one of the baseball season.
Outstanding.
That felt pretty good.
Should we do the same to a Bears trade?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, that's coming up next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.